Well, look, we still have a few minutes before we go on the air. I'd like to tell you about the time that Eleanor and I went down.
Oh, let's save the talk. Can't we agree that capitalism is an economic system? A system for the production and distribution of things we need and want?
I won't agree to that. Not until you say something about government, too. There has to be a legal basis for any economic system to operate.
Well, it's easy to see that you have different ideas of what capitalism is. Maybe we should talk about what it is not. It is not a system of strict governmental control and planning in which a dictator or poor tells people what jobs they may hold and what goods they may produce. And it's not a system of governmental
capitalism, anarcho-capitalism. It's a system where the state doesn't have any involvement in the ownership of capital.
Echo, Charlie, November. Freedom Fiends, Foxtrot, Echo, November, Sierra, Fiends. Boy, this is Mr. Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker in an undisclosed location in the real wild Mountain West in the occupied states of America.
I think we need to reduce your coffee intake, Michael. I am Nima Badati. I'm out here in Austin, Texas. In case you couldn't tell, or in case you don't know, this is the Freedom Fiends, like Mr. Dean said. And we're going to get right into it today. Today's show is about
government
the
propaganda.
America of
the mind. It's referencing a previous statement we made on a previous show. We were talking about how people always want to go back to when America was great, and we can't figure out when that was, because it's either like, you know, you go back to like blacks have to use a separate bathroom than whites. That's not great. That's not equal. That's not freedom. That's the 50s or the 30s or the 40s. Or you go back to like, you know, what? You go back to Tomei.
You go back to black people had to be owned by white people and be slaves, or genocide of the native population, or genocide of the southern population. By the northern aggressor, or all sorts of horribleness, or alien and sedition acts, and throwing people in prison for being anti-war protesters.
And you could go all the way back to, you know, right after the ink was drying on the Constitution, and there were about 12 years there before General George Washington went to war with American citizens for not trying to pay a tax that was higher than the tax those same men had fought the revolution over. So we decided that what people are trying to go back to is an America of the mind, which is a term I came up with based on a Brooklyn of the mind, which is how Michael Silverblatt of the Bookworm radio show on KPFP, KFPA network, which is the all communism all the time public radio network in California and New York City. He did a show where he interviewed Hubert Selby Jr., who I did a documentary about. And he said to Selby, I've read your book, Last Exit to Brooklyn. I grew up in Brooklyn. Where is this Brooklyn? I don't recognize the Brooklyn in your book. And Silverblatt decided Selby was describing a Brooklyn of the mind. And we've decided that people who want to go back to when America was good are describing an America of the mind. And we figured out where the America of the mind came from. A lot of it came from industrial films and educational films and government propaganda films, like what we heard at the beginning, where they were talking about communism. And if that that one goes on to, it's an argument between two people doing a radio show, and one is saying capitalism needs to be unbridled and untethered, which is what the fiends think. That was the young fiend with, you know, the beaver cleaver haircut. And then the girl is saying, no, but we need government regulations. And someone else is saying, but that leads to dictatorships. And basically the end of that movie is we need a good balance of government regulation. It's the government
let's have some of the bad stuff in with this great stuff to make it, you know, not as good. It's not a Goldilocks thing, folks. That's not how it works.
And the thing that's really ironic about that film is that film was not produced by capitalism. Capitalism would be somebody like the fiends. We're doing it right now. We're making media about how great the market is and how it shouldn't be tethered. That is true capitalism. Now that government film, that's basically socialism, because it's government stealing money at gunpoint to make propaganda films telling you how capitalism should be run by the government. That is not capitalism.
Right. And even if it wasn't that directly, you know, it was still similar to that. I said these companies like Cornet Instructional Films, they were almost sort of the Lockheed of media. They decided they'd go after these government contracts because, hey, they have a captive market in public schools back in the 50s who will buy these films to play these films for their students. And so while it probably was a private company who actually put up the capital for this, it's because they were chasing tax dollars.
Well, yeah, they were part of the military industrial film complex.
There you go.
Yeah, and this genre is called industrial films, and basically it came out of World War II. In World War II, they first started using, you know, film started in the late 1800s, you know, still photography, then motion pictures, mm-hmm. and then Hollywood came along with the 30s with the film industry, and then it became kind of mainstream by World War II. And World War II was the first war where they used films to train soldiers in various things like battle, combat, hygiene, not talking to French girls because they'll give you diseases. That's an actual film. And you know, just how to be a good soldier. And after the war, they had all these army surplus projectors and they gave them to schools, or probably sold them to schools. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the government mm-hmm. works. But then, since all these schools had all these projectors, an industry came up of, well, let's make films to put in these projectors and make the government buy with stolen tax money to give the school children something to look at. And that's where this whole genre of highway safety films and how to not be gay and how to date young girls and how to behave and how to drive safely.
The dangers of smoking reefers and all that kind of stuff.
Why don't you play that little clip from The Dangers of Smoking Reefers? And what year is that one from?
Let's see. That is from – it just says 1950s, so could be 10 different years.
Yeah.
Not more specific than that, but here you go. This is a nice little example.
It started 2 years ago with marijuana cigarettes.
Come on, it's my turn next. Gee, Duke, where'd you get them?
I know a guy. Three for a buck. Let me try.
Oh, three for a buck?
Wow. Gee. I feel awful funny.
Me too.
I feel kind of sick.
So weed makes you a bad actor, apparently.
Come on, Marty, pass it on.
Marty got kind of sick too, but he wouldn't let on. He was determined to be one of the gang if it killed him. And it almost did. Several weeks later, after smoking reefers, Marty's befogged brain hit on a clever way to open pop bottles. Later, Stan went to the hospital for swallowing broken glass. Marty badly cut the inside of his mouth.
Shut it down.
So, yeah.
What was the clever way of opening bottles that he found?
It was breaking the top of the glass bottles on a brick windowsill and then just chugging what's left, which is obviously full of broken glass.
Isn't that what reefer sticks make young people do?
Apparently that's what this film would have you believe, but it sounds like a failing of the education system to me,
which is
the government imposed public schools. I can't think of any other reason why these kids would think drinking broken glass was a good idea.
You know what's kind of ironic too is that during World War II, the U.S. federal government Department of Agriculture made a film called Hemp for Victory, which encouraged farmers to quit growing soybeans and instead grow marijuana to be used for rope and cloth production for the war effort. Why don't you play a little bit of what was the other one that we had? We had some other good ones queued up here. Some other
We have Duck and Cover, which actually
that's the granddad. That's like that's the stairway to heaven of industrial propaganda films. It's a film that I saw as a kid. It's from earlier, but they were still showing this in, you know, I was born in 64. They were still showing this in like 69, 70 to kindergarten and first graders. To teach you what to do if the Russians nuked America, you had to get under your desk and duck and cover. And this is totally kind of the real beginning, not of propaganda. That goes way back to World War I and before, but the beginning of security theater, which is what people say the TSA is.
Is what they are.
Yeah. And actually, this was produced by the Civil Defense League, which became FEMA. So go ahead and play the beginning of the song at the beginning is great, and then play some.
I'm going to start with the song. Yeah. We'll start
catchy,
there.
Man. Catchy, man. Deedle dum dum, deedle dum dum, deedle dum dum. There was a turtle by the name of Bert, and Bert the turtle was very alert. When danger threatened him, he never got hurt.
He knew just what to do. He's duck and cover. Duck and cover. He
did what? Catchy, huh? Yeah. I love the sound effect for duck.
Yeah.
So, in school, did they make you make that sound effect as you crawled under your desk?
No, I think you didn't need to, because I think that would be the sound of you vaporizing when the Russians nuked you. Go ahead and play some more of that later, past the song.
Yeah, here we go.
Yeah.
That's why these children are practicing to duck and cover just as you do in your school. We all know the atomic bomb is very dangerous. Since it may be used against us, we must get ready for it, just as we are ready for many other dangers that are around us all the time. Fire is a danger. It can burn whole buildings if someone is careless. But we are ready for fires. We have a fine fire department to put out the fire, and you have fire drills in your school so you know what to do.
See, it's all very federal family-y, as we've talked about before. The state is your federal family. We're all part of one big conglomeration of humanity. Yeah. It's not an individual thing. It's these Soviets may use the dangerous atomic bomb against us. Without any thought or forethought or context about why there's a Cold War, about who invented atomic weapons, about who used them first and created a world global situation where there is a Cold War. None of that in context. Just you may be vaporized, so curl up in a little ball. How's
that? I had nightmares about this. All little kids did back then. That's what, you know, people who are in their late 40s through mid 50s or mid-40s through mid-50s right now, or to 60 probably. People who grew up in the Cold War, we all had nightmares that this horrible threat, the Russians, were going to kill us. And now they've said it's Al-Qaeda and it's the Taliban, which are really like 100 people or 200 people, you know, one of them. And people conflate what is the Taliban, what is Al-Qaeda. You know, one of them wants to come over here and blow stuff up. One of them just wants us to not go over there. And didn't the people that planned 9/11 actually issue a statement saying the purpose was to get American mm-hmm. soldiers over there so they could attack them on their own ground?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that was Osama bin Laden's. He explained that that was the way to defeat the empire.
Mission accomplished,
thing.
Man.
Well, yeah, it was a strategic thing, just like, and they pointed to the Russians as an example. They said, how did we defeat the Russians in Afghanistan? We brought them over here, and we bled them through a war of attrition
until
they collapsed.
And now Russia is where you go for freedom to hide from the NSA when you tell the American people right. what they're doing to you. We're going to have more on the Freedom Fiends about government propaganda films after this.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Not your dad's talk radio. 5 centuries after the first spaceflight, the stars remain beyond humanity's reach. So a mad scientist enlists the aid of a young technician, Nicole Orem, as they travel through the solar system, encountering the hazards of space and human treachery. Quantum Vibe, Volume 1, Nicole, collects the first 400 strips of the epic sci-fi webcomic series, available now from the major online bookstores or direct from BigHeadPress.com.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and 2 designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press. Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system.
It's the Freedom Fiends Live. It is Sunday, August 4th, 2013. I'm Nima Vedati here in Austin, Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in rural Wyoming. Mr. Dean, can you hear me?
They constantly portray abnormal sexual behavior as being normal. They glorify unnatural sex acts. They tell youngsters that it's smart, it's thrilling, it provides kicks to be a homosexual, a sadist, and every other kind of deviant. The Military Chaplains Association of the United States, practically every major fraternal, civic, and religious organization, the juvenile court judges, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, innumerable psychiatrists, sociologists, and psychologists, attribute the moral decay among our people in very large part to the obscene and pornographic literature so prevalent in our society.
Yeah.
This moral decay weakens our resistance to the onslaught of the communist masters of deceit.
I found it. It's a really long one. It's 31 minutes, but I found the communist part, and that is George Putnam in the 1965 industrial training How to Be a Good American in the America of the Mind film called Perversion for Profit. And we actually put a little tiny bit, that part of it, in my Hubert Selby Jr. movie, Hubert Selby Jr., It'll Be Better Tomorrow, narrated by Robert Downey Jr. And I toured with that film, and I went to all over America and to Europe with it, and to the Deauville Film Festival. I was flown out to France for that, and then stopped in Prague and showed it in a punk rock setting, in a squat, in a lefty anarchist squat. And I will say that line about pornography paving the way for the communist masters of deceit got the biggest laugh in the movie of anywhere I showed it in Prague, which used to be a communist place in, like, you know, 40 years earlier. Like, it still is recovering from communism.
Yeah.
And they laughed out loud, like, just the whole room exploded with laughter, you know, in English with Czech subtitles when that part came up, because they were looking at American, an old American view of, you know, communist threat. And it was like, these people lived through it, man. These people lived through, like, you'd get beaten in a police station for playing rock and roll. They really lived under communism. And they thought it was pretty funny that George Putnam said this. Now, George Putnam has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He was adamantly anti-homosexual. He later changed his tune and said, I have many gay friends, and I think they're born that way. He probably had to do that to work in Hollywood. But he was like the Walter Cronkite of L.A. Like, DJ used to watch him on TV in L.A. when she was a little girl. And he had a radio show called Talk Back. It was an early, you know, he's kind of like the Bill O'Reilly of his day. And it was not a call-in show. It was him talking back at you, basically.
Well, how logically inconsistent of that to say that the title is Perversion for Profit, and that's supposedly the villain that he's attacking. But he says that this perversion for profit will lead to communism. How will doing something for the essence and the sake of profit lead to the opposite of capitalism, which is communism?
Yeah.
It's just on its face ridiculous.
And he lists all these organizations like the FBI and the Benevolent Association of Police, like all these people that are still around today trying to take away your rights and lead you to communist style totalitarianism. Man, it is just a crazy backwards world, upside down world government propaganda. It was actually privately produced, but, you know, it was government distributed. It was privately produced by Charles Keating, who is an industrialist who made his money off the military industrial complex and was later known for his role in a savings and loan scandal in the mid 1980s.
Well, it's also a good example of, they talk about moral decay and all this moral decay, and he says 5 out of 10 doctors attribute the moral decay to these perverted books. You know, that's really not the case. It's a case of government propaganda pointing to a scapegoat so that they can look like they're not the ones causing the moral decay. I subscribe to the idea that the real moral decay prevalent in society right now is because of the state, because the state does horrible immoral things and paints them with a coat of goodness and rightness. And so if it's okay for the cop to kick in your door and shoot people, then hey, why is it not okay for the regular Joe? I think that's where the moral decay stems from.
Yep, and we're going to talk a little more later today about an example of that with people we know of the Free State Project being painted by police in New Hampshire. They basically said that the Free State Project were terrorists, which is ridiculous. And they said it in an application to steal $250,000 worth of money through the Department of Homeland Security to buy a tank, in a tiny town in New Hampshire. Why do they need a tank, man? What do they have planned? We'll tell you more when we come back on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at personal liberties. Now there's a movie that aims back.
The government has no more right to tell us what to put in our bodies than they have to take our guns or tell us what books we can read.
Six drug police were eaten by bears while raiding a marijuana farm.
On your knees, you dirty hippies!
Jesus.
On your knees!
What's the problem, officer?
Today, many cops who enforce pot laws do so only because it provides them with cushy jobs, good benefits, and a chance to push people around.
I was an undercover narcotics officer. The drug war is nothing but a farce.
The Second Amendment says you gotta keep you and your gat intact.
Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom. A film by Michael W. Dean and Nima Vadavi.
DVD available now at gunsandweed.com or on Amazon. That's gunsandweed.com. Makes the perfect gift. Remember, that's gunsandweed.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out CreamyRadioAudio.com. That's CreamyRadioAudio.com.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Fiends. That's us, the Freedom Fiends. I am Nima Vadati here in the ATX. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in the Wyo, the Cowboy States.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Yeah. So we were talking about a type of film, a type of industrial film that was popular in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, and it was called the social guidance film. We
guidance,
mentioned that part,
yes.
But
much softer term than social engineering,
than
isn't it?
Social engineering,
social
or
guidance,
government propaganda,
yeah.
Or Soviet style hate speech. State speech is hate speech.
the two minutes hate. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Let me read the titles of some of these. Are You Popular? Buying Food. 1950s Education on Homosexuals. Better Use of Leisure Time. On Women, Posture and Personality, What Makes a Good Party, How to Date, Classroom Discipline, Grooming Essentials for Women, The Trouble with Women, The Fun of Making Friends, Sex Education for Girls, The Town and the Telephone. Oh, Bell Telephone, educational film. Yeah, that's from a company that had a total monopoly at the time. That's interesting. So basically, what the government was trying to do was be your parents with these films. They were trying to tell you how to do things, and they're doing that now. I mean, you know, Obama is actually trying to sell people on Obamacare, which, as it turns out,
with social networking,
yeah, and with parties, they're telling you how and when to party and how to get together with your friends and have a Obamacare is groovy party, and they tell you how to take pictures for your Twitter, your Twitter and your Facebooks. They actually tell you, like, make sure you get a picture of of everyone together, then get close-ups of people looking at Obamacare articles on the internet. So they're telling you how to party and how to, like, blog about it. Yeah.
Right. Blog. Well, that's just another iteration of this, isn't it? I mean, when the film technology was such that the government could manipulate it to their own ends, they did so. Same thing's happening with social networking now. I mean, that was the big hubbub in 2008 during the Barack Obama campaign, right? Was, well, he's going to win because he knows how to manipulate these social networks, and he's got a big presence on the web and Facebook and Twitter. Of course, Ron Paul had all that too, but that didn't make him win, did it?
Yeah, and I like how other Republicans said that they had to figure out how to capture the youth vote the way Ron Paul did. And I was thinking, by not being square and trying to control everybody, that's how Ron Paul did it. And you can't be square and control everybody and capture that vote. So talk about how YouTube has replaced the need for, and you know, the market, the open market and open technology has replaced the need for industrial films from the government.
Yeah.
But they still try to make them.
Well, I mean, think about those titles you read. Those are all like how-tos and what to do in this situation and how to be this type of person or this class of person. That whenever people are learning a new skill or want to get involved in a new hobby or want to learn how to do something, nowadays you just go to YouTube. You know, if I want to know how to make a certain sound with my synthesizer, I go to YouTube. If I want to know how to mix or how to compress my vocals for radio, I can start with YouTube. And people do that no matter what their hobby.
Yeah.
When I wanted to fix my my wife's air conditioner in the old Cadillac, I went to YouTube and I watched videos on how to tell if it's the blower motor or whatever the case was. And then I also could watch diagrams of other people fixing their cars and videos of it.
Yeah, if you want to know how to dress like a rapper or dress like a punk rocker, there's a YouTube video for that. Whereas in the 50s and 60s, they had videos on like beware of beatniks and hippies, which were the punkers and rappers of their day. You know, the only films available of this kind were from the government. The only how to do stuff, 5 or 10 minute films, were from the government. They told you to avoid things that are hip and cool. But now you can just, you know, find any video on how to be hip and cool in any direction you want.
Well, and because the channels of information are so big, so there's so many more of them these days, and they're so much more easily accessible, that kids, I think, would roll their eyes if they got played one of these how-to videos in a school classroom. They would probably ignore it and look down at their smartphone in their lap and watch their own YouTube videos or whatever videos they wanted to watch or their blogs rather than sitting there and being told by the teacher what to do.
Yet the government still steals millions of dollars to try to get stuff that's not cool to be cool, like putting you know, telescreens in Walmarts with Napolitano Big Sis saying,
"See something, say something.
See something, say something." And the Los Angeles School District just got $1 million grant to educate Los Angeles school children on how to tell their parents why Obamacare is good. And the director of the Los Angeles School District said, if this works, we're going to explore all kinds of ways of teaching kids to tell their parents what we want them, basically.
It's the junior spy league. I mean, this is this is why public schooling is so important to the state. And I think the state ceases to exist in its power and supposed glory that it has now without this method of indoctrinating the little kids. I mean, George Orwell explored it beautifully with his junior spy league in 1984, where the kids would turn their parents in. And so the kids acted as their own telescreen. Not only did you have to be wary of the cameras looking at you 24/7, but you couldn't even have the wrong body language. If you heard something about the war on the Eastern Front and rolled your eye, your kid would look at it and he would tell his teacher and you'd go to room 101.
Let me find the end of Perversion for Profit where George Putnam tells you to start your own junior spy league.
Can be expected. Information and advice on the organization of a Citizens for Decent Literature unit can be obtained by writing to CDL. Box 12, Cincinnati, Ohio.
No zip code.
So you can see from what
they
I have
zip codes.
And shown you today that a moral decay is spreading through our country and our society. This same type of rot and decay caused 16 of the 19 major civilizations to vanish from the earth.
No, it was the state.
Magnificent Egypt, classical Greece, Imperial Rome all crumbled away, not because of the strength of the aggressor,
because of the state.
But because of moral decay from within.
It was the state. Nope, it was the state.
Right.
We are in a unique position to cure our own ill.
That he's talking about the decay of empires. He's talking about Egypt as if that's something we should emulate, as if we should have slaves building pyramids to worship the state.
Yeah.
Is that what we want America to be?
No.
It's not what I want it to be. It's obviously what Putnam wants it
we
to be.
Have a
it's obviously what people like McCain.
A protection against obscenity.
What?
And in this day especially, we must seek to deliver ourselves from this twisting, torturing evil. We must save our nation from decay and deliver our children from the horrors of perversion. We must make our land, the land of the free, a safe home. Oh God, deliver us, Americans, from evil.
Yeah. He wants you to go, like, right to some P.O. box. This is before the web. Send a stamped sulfur-dressed envelope to Box 12, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Ohio, to get an information packet on how to start your own Citizens for Decency Brigade and work with your local police department, educators, you know, your FBI. He names all those organizations again in that part right before where we just were, and basically says, become a spy for the state.
Right, saying, right. Well, I want to bring it back to 1984. I know it's kind of cliche, but it just fits so perfectly. In that book, one of the goals of the state was to eliminate the orgasm. Because when you have an orgasm, you feel no other loyalty other than to yourself and to your partner or your partners. And thoughts of being loyal and subservient to the state disappear.
For a moment.
For a brief moment. And the overbearing big brother couldn't stand the thought that even for a brief few seconds, you would be thinking of anything but
you'd be at one with the universe and just... Yeah, just at one with your partner. And there's actually a Life in Hell comic, you know, the thing that turned into The Simpsons where it's everyone's rabbits. And there's a thing about lovemaking, and it's got two rabbits. You know, it was like the nine stages of lovemaking. And it was like the third to last one was orgasm. The second to last one was they're holding each other in their arms. The male is smoking a cigarette and says, the momentary illusion that's all is well with the universe. And then it goes back to like, you know, the fear of the job, the day, the debt, the government, you know, the Russians, everything else.
Yeah, that's so true.
The momentary illusion that's all is well in the universe.
Well, that's when you know you're really depressed and you need to make some changes in your life is when you're in that intimate moment and your news director's yelling flashes through your mind and you're like, ugh, gotta quit that job.
Yeah. Yep. So I guess the market has replaced the need for the state, but the state is still clinging to trying to be your parent and your guider and your federal family. The federal family, the federal government has tried to stop using the term federal government because that's become like a four-letter word to everybody. So, you know, like people do, they rebrand it. You know, like, what was the country? Myanmar, Burma? It was like, it had the
word. Myanmar.
It had the worst.
It was Burma. Now it's Myanmar.
Yeah, they changed the name because Burma had such a bad rap because they torture people all the time for all sorts of things, you know. So when something isn't working, they rebrand it. Blackwater did that. Blackwater, you know, the
is
government.
Now XE. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Z. Or something. Yeah. Yeah. When something is horrible, they rebrand it. When communism is a dirty word, you just change the name to the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. So, the state is clinging to trying to be our federal family, and it ain't working. It really ain't working in New Hampshire, and I'm teasing the next segment, but go ahead.
Well, I really think that people are, at least I hope, and maybe I'm being naive, I don't know, but I really hope that people are just too savvy for that to stick now. I mean, federal family, it doesn't matter what the name is. People still realize that that's what it is. I mean, KFC used to be Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now it's KFC. People still know it's the same thing. And if they didn't like it before, they don't like it now. And if they did
like it
before, they still like it. I think that people get what marketers are trying to do, and they can roll their eyes or they can go along with it. But I don't know. I don't think that people are as naive as they used to be. But maybe I'm being naive when I say that.
More people are waking up. I mean, it used to be, you know, in the 50s when these films were made, everybody believed what the government said. They had slightly different opinions of it, but everyone pretty much believed what the government said. And if they didn't, they were branded as communists or dissidents or anarchists or terrorists, mm-hmm. and people believed it. And now it's gotten to the point where the government has tried to broaden that so much to where, you know, peaceful people and millions of them and people like, you know, returning vets, like huge, like 50% of America is considered potential terrorists by the government now. And that makes it just not believable. And we're going to get back to that in New Hampshire in the next segment.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Yeah. Yeah.
Makes you want to go, mm-hmm, it's them Freedom Fiends. You already know what it is. I'm Nima V. We've also got Michael Dean. And we're going to get into a little bit about
Duck.
The Concord. Is it Concord?
And
it's not Concord.
Then kiss your butt goodbye.
Da-da-da.
Duck and cover. The government tells you why. Yeah.
Tells you lies.
Tells you lies. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yep, there you go. It's Concord. Concord, New Hampshire.
Concord,
New Hampshire. A beautiful, tiny little town that, you know, the thing about New Hampshire, it kind of looks like the America of the mind. It's all little tiny towns that look like they're kind of frozen in time in the 1890s with little white steeples on the churches and cobblestones. And it looks, you know, if you were going to film a movie that took place in 1890 and didn't want to have to build a set, you could film it in any small town in New Hampshire, basically.
Yeah, there you go.
But apparently, even though it's peaceful and low crime and mellow, apparently they need tanks. The police there need tanks. They've gotten one
of course they do.
They got one in Keene, New Hampshire, and now Concord, New Hampshire.
I thought they blocked the one in Keene. I thought that was the part of the thing.
Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. We'll ask Ian.
Yeah, we'll ask Ian. Ian, call in. So the Concord police have requested that the Department of Homeland Security give them $250,000 for one of these Bearcats, which is basically, it's a tank with wheels. You know, people say,
MSNBC says it's not a tank. Tanks have tracks.
Yeah.
Duh.
It's basically a Ford F550 with the body of a vehicle that you would have in Afghanistan while fighting a war, and it has a turret for a machine gun, 50 cal mount.
Yes.
And it has little holes to fire a 30 cal battle rifle through, and it's got a big injector arm that you can poke into the side of a house.
Yes.
And pump the house full of tear gas to get people to come out so you can arrest them.
It's a multi-purpose arm, too. You can also use it. You can put an attachment on it to actually knock down the wall of the house if you wanted to. I actually went out and one of the towns in Washington State when I was a news reporter got one. And they had a big media day where we all got to go out and film it and listen to the cops talk about how great it was that they got this new tank. And it is a tank. I mean, the way they pimped it then was, this is great. This is pretty much like a tank. They didn't use those words.
Yeah.
But it's got armor that's resistant to 50 cal. Caliber bullets. It's got its own internal air system, so if there's some kind of attack and they need to breathe inside of it but the air outside is poisoned, then they can still do that. It's a military vehicle, folks.
So in their request that they had to fill out, this 30 page or so document that was released because the ACLU you know, sometimes they get it right. They get it right once in a while. The ACLU.
They get it right a lot because they do the work to actually fill out these FOIA requests and sue the government all day long. That's their only job. So.
And people complain about them and think they're un-American because they do things like defend the rights of gay people or something like that. And, you know, the Constitution is for everybody. So if you don't like gay people, move to somewhere else. Not that you can. You know, that's what they always say to us. And we're not us, the gay people. We're the people who defend the rights of everybody. We are the smallest minority, the individual. So the Concord police wants one of these tank lights, and they don't want to pay for it. And they don't really need one because there's a National Guard near everywhere. You know, if you really need a tank, you call the National Guard. You don't need to. And the thing is, they say that they're going to roll up with this all the time, everywhere. They're going to it says there's a thing that has to be addressed. It's the whole community. How will the whole community be addressed? And it's item K. The police in Concord said the concept of the whole community will certainly be applied as this specialized vehicle will be utilized on every call out, regardless of the type of incident or location. So basically, you know, loud teenagers playing music too loud. Bearcat. That's a Bearcat. You know,
that's a Bearcat. Overwhelming force.
Yeah. You know, somebody with their grass too long and gets a ticket. That's a Bearcat. Ian Freeman and his buddies putting nickels in the parking meter so people don't get tickets. That's a Bearcat. And they said in this application, let me read this part. This is the terrifying part. The state of New Hampshire's experience with terrorism slants primarily toward the domestic type. We're fortunate we've not been victimized from a mass casualty event. However, the threat is here and real. Groups such as Sovereign Citizens, Free Staters, and Occupy New Hampshire are active and present daily challenges. So they're basically, the government's being terrorist by saying that these peaceful people, the Free State Project, are terrorists. So they need a free tank to defend against these people who, you know, maybe smoke pot in the park once in a while as a protest, and that's their biggest crime.
And these are their words. We're reading this off of their PDF of the grant application. And we'll have more comments on this after we go to the market where freedom reigns, the opposite of this Bearcat handout stuff.
Yeah.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
From The Freedom Fiends. And that was Nemo with his robot voice. It's the voice of the Bearcat, you know, like in that movie with the car, Kip. Was it Kip's car? What was it called?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Freedom Fiends. Yes.
That's us. So, we're back.
Bearcats.
Hour two.
Bearcats. We got some. Welcome to Michael's Bearcat World. Come in and get your own Citizen's Bearcat today. Comes with 50 cal mount. Now, I wonder what the Concord police would do if Free Staters, you know, started exercising their natural right to carry and just mounted a 50 cal semi-auto rifle on a golf cart and started driving around Concord.
Well, I wonder, could any group or person buy one of these Bearcats? Are they sold exclusively to state and local police organizations? Hmm. Could I go to a dealership with $250,000 and say, hey, I'll take the black one. Yeah.
Yes. And put a bumping stereo in it because I want to listen to the Freedom Fiends while I drive around my Bearcat going, yeehaw, Merca, Berka, Berka, Berka.
Berka. Here's one thing I wondered. So it says that the Free Staters are, quote, active and present daily challenges, end quote, to the Concord Police Department.
Concord.
Concord. I said Concord.
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 You yes, stressed
like
the first
Concord's
syllable.
Bad for day.
Well,
okay.
The president of the Free State movement, the Free State Project, Carla, I don't know why they have a president. Doesn't that seem kind of antithetical to
well,
at least not if
a
it's
a business yeah, can okay. have a president, right?
But it doesn't rotate. They've had her for years. But that's neither here nor there, and apparently she's doing a good job. But I wrote to Ian and Mark and said, you should get you should talk to your label mate Alex Jones here and get Carla interviewed tomorrow on Alex Jones, because I think if that happened, this would be national news in a couple of days. Because, you know, all the mainstream news guys, what they do for research now is just have one of their guys watch Alex Jones. And then anything that passes the fact check, they put on national news and say they broke the story. That's where news comes from these days.
Or Drudge.
Yeah, yeah. But here's what I'm thinking. Like, you know, if you look at, they say if the only tool you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you have a bear cat and you're putting in your application that the way you will serve the whole community is by deploying it for every police call, then every police call is going to look like a military intervention. And
yeah,
it goes, you know, there's a thing on The Simpsons where the school teachers go on strike and they hire people from the community to be school teachers. And the one Bart's teacher is Grandpa Simpson's roommate at the old folks' home, and he's really stern and old fashioned.
That's a paddling.
He's like, looking at my beard, that's a paddling. Talking out of turn, that's a paddling. Looking at the paddle, oh, that's definitely a paddling. And if you know, if you have a bear cat and you're going to deploy it all the time, like everything is going to look like a military intervention. Even Ian Freeman putting nickels in the parking meters.
right. Although, here's the thing. Shouldn't the Free Staters pride themselves on being an active and present daily challenge to the police department? Well, isn't that the concept? Is that they're going to provide a challenge to the state apparatus that
not all
constantly
of them.
Tyrannizes?
Some, you know, a lot of them go there peacefully, but there are activist types. A lot of them are around the freekeen.com website or .org, whichever it is. Freekeen, and I'm not going to collectivize people. I don't want to say,
because
I know I'll get a call from Ian and he'll say, wait,
but
not
I feel
all
like the concept, part of the concept of, well, maybe at least cop block, even if we're not going to say Free Staters. And I guess cop block
is a different thing
here.
And it's not a New Hampshire thing only. It's national.
I know. But there are cop blockers in New Hampshire, aren't there, that go around cop blocking. And the concept, I think, is to be a challenge, to challenge the police department
but being
to
a challenge,
not be a tyrannical
being
entity.
A challenge is not the same as being a terrorist. It's completely different.
I know.
You know, peaceful non-resistance, I mean, that's what ended, you know, that's what got a lot of great things supposedly to happen in this country, you know.
Well, I guess they would point to Martin desegregation,
Luther King,
and, Jim Crow laws, Gandhi ending the British occupation of India, and so on and so forth.
That's but not terrorism. Right. That's heroism. That's being great. And not everyone in Free State, in the Free State Project, does activism. But there are some who do, and the police are collectivizing them all and saying that they are all a, you know, challenge, and saying that makes them you needed something to respond to a terrorist threat because of that.
Right. I guess that's where the danger is they're conflating activists challenging the system and the status quo with terrorists. Because what they don't say it explicitly, but they use that weasel word of present daily challenge in a bid to get something that is generally thought of as an anti-terrorism thing. And plus, this is a Homeland Security grant. Isn't that what these are?
Yeah,
Homeland
it's a weapon of war, man.
Provides the money.
Obama said that weapons of war have no place in our streets. This is a weapon of war.
Yeah, it really is. And the president of the police, or not the police, the president of the Free State, I think she puts it really well when she says, individuals who sign up for the Free State Project generally subscribe to the non-aggression principle, an ethical stance which asserts that aggression is inherently illegitimate. So she's saying, dude, we are the furthest thing from terrorists. We are non-aggressors. We are not a threat that you need to have a tank to defend yourself against.
I'd say the police are fitting a broad definition of terrorism in requesting this, because terrorism is a show of force against the public to create terror. And that's what having a tank responding to the smallest of police calls will do. You know, the word draconian is thrown around a lot. You know, people say draconian laws mean laws that where the punishment greatly exceeds the crime, or even there's no real victim,
right,
and they still have a penalty for it. You know, drug laws are draconian, gun laws are draconian. The word draconian comes from the word Draco, which was the name of a lawgiver in ancient Greece. Now, they didn't have lawmakers. They had lawgivers. They were so benevolent, they gave you law. And
thank you for the law.
Yeah. And Draco was known for his harshness in the laws he gave. And so Draconian has come to refer to any similarly unforgiving rule or law. And his basic thing was that he had the death penalty for almost everything, even for minor offenses. And concerning the liberal use of the death penalty, in Draconian law code, another Greek, Plutarch, stated, "It was a lot for himself. When he asked why he fixed the punishment of death for most offenses, he answered that he considered lesser crimes to deserve it, and there was no greater punishment for more important crimes." So, yeah, it's draconian to have a Bearcat police tank and plan to bring it to every police call. You know, another interesting thing about this application is it does have an EEO section. We were talking about EEO yesterday, Equal Employment Opportunity. So I'm wondering, is this Bearcat going to be wheelchair accessible? Is it going to be like the A-Team where you have like one of the goons is in a wheelchair, you know, and he can roll out on his bulletproof wheels and help knock down doors of pot smokers in New Hampshire.
Maybe so. Yeah. Well, they also, whenever a city police department or whatever gets one of these Bearcats, they try to sell it to the public in an America of the Mind sort of way.
Propaganda.
I referenced me going out, and they invited all the media out the day that I think it was Kennewick Police Department. The day they got their Bearcat, they invited us all out, and it was a big press thing. And then what they did was the next weekend, or maybe it was the weekend after that, there was this I think it was called Big Toys for Big Boys or something like that. And it was where kids go out to the park and they see all, you know, like dump trucks and cranes and all the big industrial tools that build things that people want. But included in that, and one of the more popular exhibits, was the Bearcat tank. And they let the kids sit in the driver's seat and pretend that they could grow up to be a goon. And it was really, really sad and disheartening.
Let me ask you this. When you show up at these events as a member of the mainstream press, as you used to before you saw the light and became a fiend, do they require any proof? Do they ask for credentials? Do you have a press pass in your hat like back in the 50s? How do they do it? How do they know you're really from the press?
They know you. They've seen your station's cameras. You have a mic flag on your microphone that says, you know, K2TV now, or whatever it is.
What would those people have done if, you know, the ABC, NBC, and CBS usual guys had shown up and a guy had shown up with a mic flag that said Alex Jones Show and a little camera and a camera? What would they have done? Would they have let him in, or would they have said you weren't invited?
I don't know. I guess that's never happened. I'm sure it's happened in real life.
Or, but, you know, new, if it said Freedom Fiends, or if it said, you know, independent government accountability news.com or something, what would they do? It would happen in New Hampshire, you know. People show up. Ian shows up at things, and Dave Ridley shows up with his camera and gets thrown out of things where they're letting the mainstream press in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen YouTube videos of things like that where they say, you're not a member of the press, you're an activist. You don't have your First Amendment right, basically, is the gist of it. But they do, because in the First Amendment is included the right to redress the grievances. So I don't think they have a leg to stand on. But yeah, I imagine they would just give you a general hard time, or they might talk to you anyway and just skirt your questions or give you the government propaganda line or say, hey, yeah, we'll schedule an interview for you, or we'll let you do an interview, and then just give you the basics. You know,
and then later pull you over and plant some cocaine and kiddie porn in your car.
I don't know if they'd go that far, but maybe. I mean,
it's happened.
I mean, who knows?
Different places.
Who knows? The thing about it is,
I read it on the internet. It's true.
They're trained. You know, when they do these things, there is a job in every most decent sized police departments. If it's not an exclusive job, you know, a dedicated job, then they have a guy who that's his job is to talk to the media, a public information officer, they call it. And they go to trainings and workshops throughout the year, and they figure out how to deal with the media, what to do when a cop shoots a citizen, you know, a quote officer involved shooting, and all the strategies and tactics. And I remember talking to cops, and sometimes they would say, you know, if we don't like the way you cover this, then from now on, you know, it's going to be name, rank, and badge number. You know, like, i.e., I'll only give you the basic facts that you would get on the police blotter anyway. You're not going to get sound out of me. It's going to be pointless for you to waste your time coming down to the station and pointing a camera at me, because I'm not going to give you any usable sound for your news story.
You know, the Free State Project really are making a difference, because – you know, you're nobody until somebody hates you. And when the local police are saying, we need $250,000 to buy this tank because these people are here, these peaceful people are here, you're making a difference. And an interesting thing is a lot of the activism that goes on there, which is not a majority of the people there, it's a minority, but it's a loud minority, and we like that. A lot of the stuff they do, like I've heard even small government constitutionalists say, that's stupid, man. That's not anything. But those are the same people who sit around and watch TV all day and stroke their rifles, the people criticizing. And those are people who like say, man, it's time for a line in the sand. It's time for people to stop taking all this and putting up with the government. And when a few people in New Hampshire don't put up with the government by doing things like putting nickels in parking meters or having a pot smoke in the park in broad daylight and announcing it on the web ahead of time. They're doing something. They're doing something. So if you're not doing something, you know, you're not doing nothing. You shouldn't criticize people who do something. That's what I think.
True dat. We'll be back with morphines.
Morphine at the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. They'll be right back just as soon as this drone is out of range.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
It's the Freedom Fiends live. I go by the name of Nima Vidati. James, if you really want to get specific about the middle one, we've also got Michael W. Wareham, actually. Oh, I called you out, Mr. Dean. Michael Wareham Dean on the other end of the internets from me. And we're talking about what, Michael?
Bearcat. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Bearcats.
Do-do-do. Bear cats into my home. The SWAT team came and they crushed my bones.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice, nice. Berka. We live in Berka.
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 Yes.
Berka.
Yes, yes, yes.
Berka.
It's all
Berka.
Just, it's security theater, man. That's all it is. I mean, yeah they're going to use the bear cat for some horrible tyranny, but I think another point of it is just to show the overwhelming force and try to get people to decide, to pick a side, basically. Yeah. Are you going to be the guy who gets swatted, or are you going to be the guy who takes his kids to the park to sit in the bear cat yeah. and pretend that they're doing the swatting?
Yeah, I like this comment I saw somewhere on the web. Somebody said, a bear cat must be the only way to get coffee and donuts in the wicked, wild, wintry state of New Hampshire. That's what they're going to use it for.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if it comes with special bear cat snow tires for the northern regions.
Yeah, I like that. I think this is the first time and only time probably it'll ever happen that we break a story about New Hampshire before Free Talk Live, because they're a daily show, and there's so many times when we have some news comes up and I'm like, oh, all the daily shows are going to get to talk about this. But this broke last night, apparently, and we get to talk about it today.
So, ah, yeah. Yes, yes. Before you. Ha ha.
Too bad it's not Saturday, because we're on a station in Massachusetts there that reaches about 8 feet into 8 feet into New Hampshire, reaches about 10 people and 1,000 squirrels and moose in New Hampshire.
And 12 dogs.
Yeah, and 12 dogs. Yeah. You know, there's a kind of, I really think what this is going to do is just make more people not believe in the government and just realize the absurdity of it. And there's a comment from a quote from Samuel Adams, who we discussed yesterday as a good guy. And today's episode is called, by the way, today's show is called Democrats Are John F. Kennedy Before an Election and John McCain After an Election. Because, yeah, they just turn into, you know, they run as freedom guys and then they turn into tyrants as soon as they're elected. They turn into Republicans, mm-hmm. basically. And that includes putting weapons of war on the street, which seems like something Republicans would have done under Reagan or Bush or the other Bush. But the quote from Samuel Adams is, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men.
Yes.
That's what we do. That's what Free State Project does. And that's what Free Keen does.
It sure is.
Yeah. Keen.
Yeah. Well, you could also say Democrats are Barack Obama before an election and George W. Bush after an election.
Or they're Barack Obama before an election and Barack Obama after an election.
After an election. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. There you go. And, you know, Lou Rockwell brought this point up in an article that was reprinted in his book, The Left, the Right, and the State. He called it log rolling. So the Republicans, when they get in power, they can do the things that normally Republicans would be upset about because the Republicans don't want to rock the boat. You know, the rank and file don't want to rock the boat because their guys are in power. So Barack Obama can get away with tyrannizing the country and going after whistleblowers more than any time in recent memory, and basically doing horrible things to Bradley Manning and threatening to do horrible things to Edward Snowden. And the Democrats who are on his side, the partisans, they're not going to call him out as much because, hey, he's their man in Washington. Whereas if George Bush was still in office when Bradley Manning, when that scandal came out, or when the Snowden scandal came out, everybody at HuffPo, you know, everybody at Fire Dog Lake, they would all be jumping on George W. Bush's butt and calling him the tyrant that he is. But since it's Mr. Barack, they're not going to do that.
Yeah. And there's something called the Laffer curve, which is basically an economics idea about the relationship between levels of taxation and the resulting levels of government revenue. And the idea is to, and it was the idea behind Reaganomics. It was basically lower or raise taxes to an optimum, theoretical optimum point where there's not noncompliance and people aren't rejecting it and they're paying taxes and there's a little bit of free market happening under all this weight of tyranny to where the government can steal more money. Now, the thing is, I think there should also be a curve for government violence of, you know, how much they can get away with before people just reject them outright. And I think they've passed that point. There's actually a Larkin Rose video called, or book called, How to Be an Effective Tyrant or something, which basically says if you want to be an effective tyrant, you know, and he's not a tyrant. He hates tyrants. But he's talking about how if they did it right, they would not increase the tyranny so quickly that the boiling frog notices it's boiling and it would just keep happily paying taxes and being robbed from at gunpoint without us noticing it. So we need a name for the Laffer curve for violence against people and threat of violence that the government has. You got any suggestions?
I think Paul Bonneau put it beautifully. He says the optimal level of violence. And we'll be back with more Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, Inoculation from Indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of freedomfiends.com. Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
Bearcat. Bearcat. Yeah. Bearcat. It's the Freedom Fiends. Ain't no Bearcats on our team, nor does there need to be. I'm Nima V. We've also got Michael Dean. And you actually have a hilarious takeoff that you've worked together with the crew of Free Talk Live to put together. Tell us a little bit about the Bearcat buyback.
Well, we're writing the theme song for it. I'll tell that. I'll sing that first. We have two lines of it. It's duck and cover. There's a bear cat coming down your street. Da, duck da, da. And cover. The police are gonna run over your feet.
Yeah. Hacha.
Yeah. So
Sugar
before this whole thing broke, you know, it's about to be national news because everyone's gonna cover it on Monday because it's that big of a story. But the bear cat pushback has been going on for some time now. The Free State Project members, Free Talk Live, Ian Freeman and Mark Edge have been yelling at Bearcats for months or years now. And Mark Edge came up with a brilliant idea to do a Bearcat buyback, you know, the way that police will buy back guns they never owned. You can't really buy them back.
Yeah, it's not really a buyback.
And, you know, sometimes they'll give you like a Walmart gift certificate for $50 or $100. So Mark Edge went to Walmart and bought a $5 gift certificate. And he announced on the radio that he will give a $5 Walmart gift certificate to anyone who brings him a Bearcat. And I thought that was – and he said – and I thought it was such a hilarious idea that I – broke my rule of Kickstarter is for beggars and college students and I'll never do it. And I went and started a Kickstarter campaign. Well, I submitted it. It's actually a long and arduous and invasive and intrusive process to sign up for Kickstarter, including giving them more financial information than I've, and personal information than I've ever had to give for anything except getting a mortgage. But I finally got approved to submit my project. And now I'm waiting for it to be approved. The name of the project is the Bearcat Buyback Awareness Program. And the idea is basically it's a 15-day campaign to raise $950, $500 of it to be spent on buying ads on Liberty Radio Network, $250 to be spent on buying ads on the Bad Quaker podcast, and $200 to be spent on expenses and producing a 30- or 60-second radio ad to – you know, where we'll put it when we put it on those shows.
We'll have
shows.
A jingle.
Yeah, we'll have a jingle.
Yeah.
And it's going to be to spread awareness of Mark Edge's Bearcat buyback for $5 program. And then there's $5 allotted to get another Walmart gift card so Mark can buy back two Bearcats. Now, it hasn't been approved yet, so don't go look for it. But we will announce it the second it's up, and Free Talk Live will also. And I added one caveat that Mark did not have. Mark said, I don't care where you get the Bearcat. I said, the Bearcat must be legally obtained. Don't steal. The government hates competition. So, yeah. So that's
reference
our thing.
To the bumper sticker that's on Ron Paul's desk from that famous photo.
Yeah.
Yes. And the Bearcat Buyback program will now be referred to as the BBAP or the BBAP for short.
BBAP. I like it. BBAP.
Yes.
Yeah.
We can use acronyms too.
Yeah.
It's not just the government. They don't have a monopoly on acronyms.
Yeah. They'd like to.
Yeah. I'm sure they would.
So a news organization got robbed at gunpoint.
Oh, yeah, we can go there, definitely.
You can talk about the Laffer curve.
For some reason, this just tickles us.
Yeah.
Oh, we can, but let's go ahead and get into I was going to save this for a kicker, but we can have some comic relief here.
KGT.
KGOTV. Yes.
Now, aren't they the same people that recently accidentally broadcast something racist when that Asiatic Airlines crashed? I think it was. Was it them?
I'll look it up. The Way Too Low? No, that was I think that was a San Francisco affiliate.
Ah, okay.
I guess it's all the Bay Area, but I don't think that it was the same people. Maybe it was. Who knows? Look it up. But yeah, a California news crew was robbed at gunpoint Friday while shooting a segment during broad daylight in West Oakland. The team from KGOTV was ordered to the ground and had camera equipment stolen during the incident, despite being accompanied by a guard.
Probably not an armed guard.
Probably not an armed guard, yeah. And is that a thing if you're shooting in West Oakland?
Yeah.
And you work for, I'm assuming a link. Pretty big affiliate if you're in that area.
Yeah, and by the way, it was a different – you're correct. It was a different news organization. It was KTVU that accidentally broadcast something racist that somebody wrote and put up on their teleprompter. In the Huffington Post article, click on the original link to the source, and it talks about other cases – of news organizations being robbed in Oakland recently. You know, I always, whenever they say robbed at gunpoint in a headline, I always wondered, like, is gunpoint a neighborhood in Oakland? I think it is. I think it's a neighborhood in West Oakland, gunpoint. Yeah.
Yes. And that link points to a USA Today article. Let's see. Yeah. Same facts we have already around 2:30 p.m. and Friday in West Oakland. At least one of the three men apparently accosted the camera crew. The incident is the latest robbery targeting media in Oakland. In November, a KPIX news cameraman was punched and robbed during a live broadcast outside a high school. The incident prompted the station to hire security guards to accompany its crews when they cover news in Oakland. In July, Bay Area newsgroup reporters and photographers were robbed of camera equipment while working in Oakland. Huh. You see, this is why why I liked to have a gun on me or near me whenever I was a news reporter. I always had, you know, sometimes you're going
like
and covering
that.
Stuff in the ghetto.
Did not like that.
No.
You were open carrying doing news for the mainstream news, and you were open carrying. It was kind of your in-between phase of discovering true liberty. You already had the economics of liberty and the morality of liberty and the theoretical side of liberty, and I didn't quite have that yet. And we met each other, and I introduced you to guns, and you introduced me to true absolute yes. Non-aggression principle liberty.
Trade, yeah. Yes. Free exchange of ideas made yep. both of us better.
Did not exactly. require anything from yeah, the, did not require anything from the military-industrial film complex.
Nope. No, nor any central planning. It just happened. But yeah, I had my GAT for a little while, and it was late at night, and we got something on the scanner about a shooting incident in a North Casper neighborhood. So I went out to see if I could get the breaking news, and of course it's a shooting incident, so you don't go to gunfights without a gun. That's what I was taught. That's what I believe. And so yeah, the cops had guns, but they flipped out at me when they realized that I was packing. You know, I guess that kind of makes sense. If it's in the dark and you see somebody coming up with a strap on.
This wasn't a sheriff in Casper. It was the sheriff of Casper, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah. It was the sheriff wasn't out late at night doing work. Obviously not. But his goons, you know, the goon squad, the sheriff department, they kind of gave me the fifth degree. They let me keep wearing the gun. They just told me to stay back about 50 feet. But then the next morning, the actual sheriff, the guy who's elected,
the head of the county,
sheriff, called my news director. Yes, called my news director and flipped his cookies and got really upset. And my news director called me in and said, "Why were you carrying a gun?" And I was like, "For protection." And he goes, "That's what the police are there for."
See, this is the problem
I kept a straight face because I'm very good at not breaking character. But I said, "Okay, sure."
This is the problem I have with like the Sheriff Mac plan of returning the power from the federal government to the sheriffs. And he says that should be the highest level of power anywhere. And it's like, you know, even in the Mountain West where the sheriffs might be better than in LAPD, they're still not into the Second Amendment to the point where they'll let you carry a gun in a dangerous situation without barring you from getting access to news. And they're still kicking in doors of right. people who smoke pot and there's no victim. You know, that's I don't want those right. guys. Right. I'd rather have it away in D.C. where it's less in my face, probably, if I have to choose,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
a punch in the face or a punch in the stomach. Yeah.
Yeah. It boils down to Lord Acton, right? Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. And so if you have smaller tyrants, thousands of them all across the country, you're still going to have the same problem of one person getting to call the shots and say what other people get to do. It's that essence of top down control that is the problem that leads to tyranny and the lack of freedom. It's not how big of a tyrant you have. It's the fact that you have one at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Tyranny's so square.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that will segue into Paul Bonneau's article.
I had one more comment. I was wondering if people who steal a news camera at gunpoint, and that actually happens in the Dave Chappelle show. There's a skit where they, ESPN 8, the Ocho or whatever, is covering the dice competition in the basement of the projects, and the dice game gets robbed at gunpoint, and guys with ladies' stockings over their face to hide their appearance come in and rob everything, pointing pistols at people, and then they rob the news crew and they say put that camera in that box. And I'm thinking, like, how hard? It'd probably be pretty hard to fence or pawn a news camera that probably has a big logo on the side of it, and most people wouldn't know yeah. how to use it because it wouldn't interface easily with a lot of equipment, although the one we used when you were working here,
nowadays it probably yeah. would yeah
but yeah. You know, I
well,
think
now, they, nowadays they, a lot of them shoot on SD cards. So.
Yeah, when we used yours, yeah. we used yours when you were to make our Guns and Weed movie, partly to make it.
That's not too
soon.
For public consumption
too soon.
Yet.
Okay, it could be done. Soon. It could be done. But I think they'd probably just end up. The gang would end up putting it in their clubhouse, you know, on the mantle next to their midnight basketball trophy
as a trophy.
And that's not racist because midnight basketball was created to get gang members off the street, as they say.
Yeah, kind of like a project graduation thing.
I don't know what that is.
Sponsored by your local police department.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's yeah, steal a bunch yeah. of tax money okay. to do something that doesn't make a difference at all. but presidents can get behind it, and their wives can get behind it. So Paul Bonneau, friend of ours, good guy. Member of the Free State Wyoming.
Yeah.
Free State Wyoming, I want to say, their website disappeared, and some of their founding fathers haven't been heard from in a while. I don't know what's up. Maybe they bugged out. Maybe they're in their windowless bunker. But the website, the forum just disappeared. The website's still up. It wasn't like they didn't pay. You know, sometimes people don't pay their domain registration. Like, the first page of the website's still up, but the forum is gone. And it has says, like, this site has been suspended or something. And it's very strange.
Well, isn't there some alternative that people are using now?
Mama Liberty started something called Wyoming Mavericks. It's a sub-forum of the Mental Militia forums. And there's directions on how to get to it on the Freedom Fiends blog, if you want to go there.
Yes, that's freedomfiends.com/blog.
Or go to
know how to spell that.
Or go to freedomfiends.com and then go to the little kitty cat on the computer icon over on the right. So yeah, Paul Bonneau, good guy. Talk about him.
Paul Bonneau. Yeah. So he describes the Laffer curve in a really great way. It's basic. He says it's the notion that stolen government loot will be zero at tax rates of both 0% and 100%. So yeah, if the government's not taxing anybody at all, obviously they're not making any money. If they tax everybody at 100%, obviously they're not going to make money either. So therefore, looting is maximized at some rate in between. Not the most earth-shattering realization, but if you read about it, you come off with a strange feeling about conservatives arguing how to maximize government revenue. Now, is it that funny? We'll be back with more Freedom Fiends after the jump.
Tweak and review. Tweak and review.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Freedom Fiends, welcome back. It's the bottom of the show. That means it's time for the Freedom Fiends Tweak and Review. Yes, it's the segment where we go over the bullet points of the show as I compiled them while we were doing it in freestyle mode. We're going to go back and take a look, Yo Gabba Gabba style, on what we learned today. So, number one, industrial films, social engineering films, whatever you want to call them, those black and white films from the 50s with the orchestra music in the beginning and the male voice telling you what you should or shouldn't do. Your federal daddy is what that amounts to. And it helped to create Michael's concept of the America of the mind. That good but fictional America where everybody was looking out for you and all you had to do was follow the rules, not be a homosexual, and defer to the police. And if you ever got scared, don't smoke reefers. And if you ever get scared, curl up into a little ball.
Yeah, it's the government self-defense class. You know, we had that in the Guns and Weed movie. The government wants you to curl up in a ball when attacked. And that's pretty much literally what duck and cover was when you think about it.
Yeah, especially if you watch the images of the kids doing it or watch the theme song, which is a turtle. Who's alert and doesn't get hurt is the rhyme they say. And whenever there's an explosion,
he retreats to his shell.
He ducks and covers. And so the turtle is always safe. The state wants you to be a turtle. They want you to be slow and to defend yourself by curling up inside yourself.
You know, at least back then, the government had blueprints you could get free on how to build a windowless bunker. They wanted people to build fallout shelters in their backyard, and they had a pamphlet on how to do that.
Yes.
And now if you build a bunker in your backyard, the police will probably roll up in their Bearcat and ask you what you're doing.
But if you want to know how, there's actually a book that will tell you. And I think we're going to maybe get some promotional copies of that. And we'll have more on that at a later date.
Yeah. $100 bunker book. It's not what it's called, but that's what it is. Yeah.
But just like with YouTube filling the gap of educating people on what they want to know about, how they want to expand their cultural knowledge, YouTube takes care of that now. You don't need to watch your government propaganda anymore. Same thing with the bunkers. The market came in. Somebody wrote a book on how to build a bunker, so you don't have to go to your local patent office and get the blueprints for the bunker built.
Patent offense.
Yes. The patent offense. It's very offensive. So number two, a government-sponsored killdozer in every garage. Well, every police department garage, that is. Concord. Yes, the police department in Concord, New Hampshire wants a Bearcat
Concord.
Yes.
They have conquered the freedom movement there in their minds.
They're trying
Conquered.
To. Yes.
Conquered.
And in their bid to get one of these government-sponsored killdozers, also known as a Bearcat, they have conflated activists with terrorism. They use the word challenges. They say people like the Free Staters present daily challenges. And they think that because they are challenged –
they're tyranny challenged.
Yes, yes. Because they are challenged by these freedom-loving activists and freedom-loving people in general.
Peaceful
that
people.
That means they deserve a weapon of war to combat against these activists as if they were terrorists. A very scary development, but hopefully enough people in the war of ideas will be able to flank this concept of a government-sponsored killdozer in every tiny little hamlet across America. That's what they want. Let's not let them get it. Number three.
There used to be a thing called Army Surplus. There still is Army Surplus stores, but they sell clothes. Yep. But usually you used to be able to actually buy rifles and, you know, gas masks and all sorts. You can still buy gas masks, but you used to be able to buy
gas masks. Yeah.
I wonder in LibPair in 5 or 10 years when we're having Nuremberg trials for the drug warriors, if there's going to be a resurgence in military surplus stores where you'll be able to buy a Bearcat for a $5 Walmart gift card.
Maybe. Did you guys put a time limit on Mark's Bearcat buyback?
No. The Kickstarter is going to be a 15-day thing, but I don't want to contract Mark against his knowledge for anything. But if Mark won't give a $5 gift card for a Bearcat 20 years from now or 10 years or 5 years from now, I will.
You will? Okay. The final tweak and review, the Laffer Curve, the concept that there has to be an optimum level of government theft. That extends to more than just taxes. That extends to all government tyranny. And I think that helps to explain the Bradley Manning.
Yeah, the Bradley Manning thing. And this is the Freedom Fiends.
Pulling back a little.
Yeah. Worms.
Thank you for listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's FreedomFeens.com.